fruit bearing testifies to abiding. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away. In me. This does not mean that those who are really in Christ do not bear any fruit. God has purchased us through Christ, that he might be a propitiation for our sins. We are within the bounds of his mercy, for in mercy his arm encircles the whole human race. Since Christ has paid the price for all the service that we should give him, we are his servants by purchase. Although we are in Christ Jesus by his covenant of promise, yet if we stand in a position of perfect indifference, without acknowledging him as our Savior, we bear no fruit. If by failing to be a partaker of his divine nature we bear no fruit, we are taken away. Worldly influences take us away from Christ, and our portion is the same as that of the unfruitful branch. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Our fruit bearing testifies whether we are really abiding in Christ. We are Christ's property. Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Are we in him by living faith? If we do not bear any fruit, the powers of darkness take possession of our minds, our affections, our service, and we are of the world, though we profess to be children of God. This is neither a safe nor a pleasant position, because we lose all the beauty and the glory and the satisfaction that it is our privilege to have. By abiding in Christ, we may have his sweetness, his fragrance, his light. Christ is the light of the world. He shines in our hearts. His light in our hearts shines forth from our faces. By beholding the beauty and the glory of Christ, we become changed into the same image. Identity with Christ needed. The branches in the true vine are the believers who are brought into oneness by connection with the vine. The connection of the branches with one another and with the vine constitutes them a unity, but this does not mean uniformity in everything. Unity in diversity is a principle that pervades the whole creation. While there is an individuality and variety in nature, there is a oneness in their diversity, for all things receive their usefulness and beauty from the same source. The great master artist writes his name on all his created works, from the loftiest cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop upon the wall. They all declare his handiwork, from the lofty mountain and the grand ocean to the tiniest shell upon the seashore. The branches of the vine cannot blend into each other, they are individually separate, yet every branch must be in fellowship with every other if they are united in the same parent stock. They all draw nourishment from the same source. They drink in the same life-giving properties. So each branch of the true vine is separate and distinct, yet all are bound together in the parent stock. There can be no division. They are all linked together by his will to bear fruit wherever they can find place and opportunity. But in order to do this, the worker must hide self. He must not give expression to his own mind and will. He is to express the mind and will of Christ. The human family are dependent upon God for life and breath and sustenance. God has designed the web, and all are individual threads to compose the pattern. The Creator is one, and he reveals himself as the great reservoir of all that is essential for each separate life. Christian unity consists in the branches being in the same parent stock, the vitalizing power of the center supporting the grafts that have united to the vine. In thoughts and desires, in words and actions, there must be an identity with Christ, a constant partaking of his spiritual life. Faith must increase by exercise. All who live near to God will have a realization of what Jesus is to them and they to Jesus. As communion with God is making its impress upon the soul, and shining out in the countenance as an illuminating light, the steadfast principles of Christ's holy character will be reflected in humanity. C. Detachment as well as attachment, a union with Christ by living faith is enduring, every other union must perish. Christ first chose us, paying an infinite price for our redemption, and the true believer chooses Christ as first, and last, and best in everything. But this union costs us something. It is a relation of utter dependence to be entered into by a proud being. All who form this union must feel their need of the atoning blood of Christ. They must have a change of heart. They must submit their own will to the will of God. There will be a struggle with outward and internal obstacles. There must be a painful work of detachment, as well as a work of attachment. Pride, selfishness, vanity, worldliness, sin in all its forms, must be overcome, if we would enter into a union with Christ. The reason why many find the Christian life so deplorably hard, why they are so fickle, so variable, is, they try to attach themselves to Christ without detaching themselves from these cherished idols. Believers become one in Christ, but one branch cannot be sustained by another. The nourishment must be obtained through vital connection with the vine. We must feel our utter dependence on Christ. We must live by faith in the Son of God. That is the meaning of the injunction, "Abide in me." The life we live in the flesh is not to the will of men, not to please our Lord's enemies, but to serve and honor Him who loved us, and gave Himself for us. A mere assent to this union, while the affections are not detached from the world, its pleasures and its dissipations, only emboldens the heart in disobedience. The Signs of the Times, November 29, 1910, found also at God makes no compromise, until the heart is surrendered unconditionally to God, the human agent is not abiding in the true vine, and cannot flourish in the vine, and bear rich clusters of fruit. God will not make the slightest compromise with sin. If He could have done this, Christ need not have come to our world to suffer and die. No conversion is genuine which does not change both the character and the conduct of those who accept the truth. The truth works by love, and purifieth the soul. C. The circulation of life, Christ alone can help us and give us the victory. Christ must be all in all to us, He must dwell in the heart, His life must circulate through us as the blood circulates through the veins. His Spirit must be a vitalizing power that will cause us to influence others to become Christ-like and holy. A day-by-day experience dash quoted. What is it to bear fruit? It is not all comprised in coming to meeting once a week, and bearing our testimony in prayer or social meeting. We are to be found day by day abiding in the vine, and bringing forth fruit, with patience, at our home, in our business, and in every relation and life manifesting the Spirit of Christ. There are many who act as though they thought an occasional connection with Christ was all that was necessary, and that they can be accounted living branches because at times they make confession of Christ. But this is a fallacy. The branch is to be grafted into the vine, and to abide there, uniting itself to the vine fiber by fiber, drawing its daily supply of sap and nourishment from the root and fatness of the vine, until it becomes one with the parent stock. The sap that nourishes the vine must nourish the branch, and this will be evident in the life of him who is abiding in Christ. For the joy of Christ will be fulfilled in him who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Our professions are worthless unless we abide in Christ, for we cannot be living branches unless the vital qualities of the vine abound in us. In the genuine Christian, the characteristics of his master will appear, and when we reflect the graces of Christ in our lives and characters, the Father loves us as he loves his Son. When this condition is fulfilled in those who profess to believe the present truth, we shall see a prosperous church, for its members will not live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them, and they will be flourishing branches of the living vine. C. Light brings gladness. When the light of heaven shines upon the human agent, his countenance will express the joy of the Lord within. It is the absence of Christ from the soul that makes people sad and of a doubtful mind. It is the want of Christ that makes the countenance sad, and their life is a pilgrimage of sighs. Rejoicing is the very keynote of the Word of God for all who receive Him. Why? Because they have the light of life. Light brings gladness and joy, and that joy is expressed in the life and the character. C. No provision for willful blindness. Quoted, those who have an opportunity to hear the truth, and yet take no pains to hear or understand it, thinking that if they do not hear, they will not be accountable, will be judged guilty before God the same as if they had heard and rejected. There will be no excuse for those who choose to go in error when they might understand what is truth. In his sufferings and death, Jesus has made atonement for all sins of ignorance, but there is no provision made for willful blindness. We shall not be held accountable for the light that has not reached our perception, but for that which we have resisted and refused. A man could not apprehend the truth which had never been presented to him, and therefore could not be condemned for light he had never had. But if he had opportunity to hear the message, and to become acquainted with the truth, and yet refused to improve his opportunity, he will be among the number of whom Christ said, "Ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." Those who deliberately place themselves where they will not have an opportunity of hearing the truth, will be reckoned among those who have heard the truth, and persistently resisted its evidences. Light that has shone, will condemn. None will be condemned for not heeding light and knowledge that they never had, and they could not obtain. But many refuse to obey the truth that is presented to them by Christ's ambassadors, because they wish to conform to the world's standard, and the truth that has reached their understanding, the light that has shone in the soul, will condemn them in the judgment. Judged according to light, men will not be judged for light they have never had. But those who have kept Sunday, whose attention has been called to this error, but who would not open their eyes to behold wondrous things out of the law, will be judged according to the light that has come to them. See.